But point 12 in our series tonight of our 15 points is Jesus is the shepherd of one flock consisting of only sheep. Jesus has no goats in his flock. You see, this verse in John chapter 10, verse 16, is often used by the ecumenical crowd to say, you see, Jesus has more than one fold. He has the Protestant church and he has the Catholic church. And you know what Jesus prayed in John 17, that we may all be one. No, I'm sorry, that's not what Jesus was praying in John chapter 17, the Lord's Prayer, and that's really the Lord's Prayer is John 17. We've called the Lord's Prayer the one we know, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's not the Lord's Prayer. That's the disciples' prayer. The Lord does not have to pray, forgive us our debts, or forgive us our trespasses, or forgive us our sins. The Lord doesn't have to pray that. The Lord was teaching the disciples how to pray. That should be called the disciples' prayer. John 17, however, is the Lord's Prayer, right before his going to the cross, to Calvary. And what he was praying for was not ecumenicalism, not for the Protestant church and the Catholic church or false teaching and false teachers and evangelicals and Christians to come together as one. No, that would be in direct contrast to what the scripture teaches. Scripture cannot contradict scripture. And we know if it looks like it does, it's not the scripture, it's our interpretation, right? So we know Jesus wasn't teaching the ecumenicalism that some use John 17 to proclaim. He was proclaiming for Christians to come together as one. Gentiles and Jews and Greeks and all come together as one with the common bond of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter whom he would send after his ascension into heaven. And so Jesus, again, in prior to John 17, obviously, John 10 is talking about the fact, he says, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. No, it's not the Catholic Church or the Mormon Church, or as I've heard some people do to promote ecumenicalism. He says, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. He's talking about the Gentiles. I've got Jews, I've got Gentiles. They're going to bring them together, and there'll be one flock, one in Christ. And that's exactly what he's talking about. So again, point 12 is Jesus is the shepherd of one flock consisting of only sheep, and Jesus has no goats in his flock. And then if you're going to add in non-believers, you're going to add in those who follow another Jesus, another gospel, that's goats. And he doesn't have any goats. He only has sheep. Look at Ephesians 2, 11 through 16. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you, who once were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity that is of the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. So again, because of Christ, we can come together as one in Christ. One in Christ, one faith, one hope, one spirit. This is what is the New Testament church, ecclesia, called out ones, indwelt by the Holy Spirit. One church, one bride. So don't let people use John chapter 10, verse 16 to promote ecumenicalism. That's not at all what Jesus is teaching there in John 10 or in his prayer of John 17. Point number 13. Faithfully trusting and following the shepherd is evidence the sheep are owned by the shepherd. Let's give that one more time. Faithfully trusting and following the shepherd is evidence that the sheep are owned by the shepherd. Now, I have not had the opportunity yet to get some footage that I'd like to get. I've actually asked some folks in our radio audience, if you are a shepherd and you have sheep, I'd love to have video footage of this. And if you guys ever find it on YouTube or somewhere, send it to me. I've looked. We've showed you video footage in a previous program of a shepherd calling his sheep and them coming, okay? In fact, we showed you video footage of some young teenagers, mimicking the shepherd, using the same sound, the same word. And the first one goes to the fence and calls out the sheep with the word and the sound that the shepherd has told them to use. The sheep don't even raise their head up from grazing. The second teenager tries this. They don't raise their head up from grazing. The third one tries it. Same result. Finally, the shepherd steps up to the fence and he calls the sheep with the same sound and the same word, and the sheep pop up their head, stop grazing, look and see it's him, and they come running. You see, they know the voice of the shepherd. Now, I've got that footage, and that's wonderful footage, and I've showed it to you in our very first program, or perhaps it was our second program. But what I don't have is video footage of two flocks, each flock owned by a different shepherd, being mixed together into the same pen, and then watch the shepherd call them out, and they faithfully follow only the shepherd that owns them. I have heard that that takes place, that a shepherd, two different shepherds can take their flock, put them into one pen, and the shepherd can call out his flock, and his sheep will come out of that pen and follow only him. The sheep belonging to the other shepherd will stay right where they're at because he hasn't called them. Well, if I ever get footage of that, I'd love to show it to you. Or if you find such footage, send it to me. But I have heard of that being demonstrated before. And I think that goes perfectly with point 13. Faithfully trusting and following the shepherd is evidence the sheep are owned by the shepherd. One of the strongest evidences that the sheep belong to the shepherd is the sheep follow him. They won't follow a stranger. Isn't that what Jesus said? They won't follow a stranger. They won't follow the voice of a stranger. They know the shepherd, and they're not going to follow someone who's not the shepherd. So one of the strongest evidences that the sheep are owned by the shepherd is the fact that they follow him. And that's true in the Christian life. Ongoing faithfulness and obedience. Ongoing faithfulness and obedience. 1 John says in the book of 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, that this book was written that you may know you have eternal life. That's the book of 1 John, written by the same author that wrote the Gospel of John that we've been studying here in John chapter 10. Isn't that interesting? Why was the Gospel of John written? Well, the Gospel of John was written according to John chapter 20, that you may know how to have eternal life, that you may know how to have eternal life. And how would you know? By believing in Christ. By believing that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Christ. In fact, let me just, instead of telling you about it, let me go over there. John chapter 20. John chapter 20, look at verse 30. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Verse 31. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. Okay, so why was this book written? John says that the Gospel of John was written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You know what Christ means? His name isn't, by the way, Mr. Christ, Jesus being his first name, Christ being his last name, Mr. Christ. No, Christ is a title. The Christ. That means Messiah. The Christ. That means Messiah. That you may come to know that Jesus is the Messiah, is the Christ, or is the Messiah, the Son of God. And then it says, and that believing you may have eternal life in his name. So why was the Gospel of John written? That you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and then believing you might have eternal life. So simply I would say the Gospel of John was written so that you may know how to have eternal life. How to have eternal life. Now, the writer of the Gospel of John wrote 1 John, he wrote 2 John, he wrote 3 John, and he wrote the book of Revelation. And in the book of 1 John, chapter 5, verse 13, he says that that book was written that you may know if you have eternal life. That you may know if you have eternal life. Or that you have eternal life. Go over to 1 John. Let's read it together. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. And the reason I'm doing this is because I want to show you how it fits with point 13 here in our study. Here's what John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 says. These things I've written to you who believe. Listen to that. Who are they written to? Who believe. These things I've written to you who believe. Well, isn't that interesting? Because didn't we just read that the book of John was written? But these are written that you may believe. Well, that's interesting. The book of John was largely written to a group of people who maybe weren't believers, who did not yet believe, but that they might believe. In other words, John's writing the Gospel of John to people to share with them what is the gospel, who is Messiah. He says that you may know who is the Christ, that Jesus is the Christ, Messiah, and that knowing that he is Christ or the Messiah, that you might have eternal life. So clearly it's written to people who don't yet have eternal life. Largely the Gospel of John was written to the Jewish people to try to show them the gospel, who Christ is, that he's Messiah. So the Gospel of John was written that people might believe and have eternal life, that you may believe. Look at what 1 John 5:13 says. 1 John chapter 5:13. These things I've written to you who believe. Well, isn't that interesting? For John was written that you may believe, and 1 John was written to those who do believe. But what? These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Wow. The Gospel of John was written to people who didn't believe yet, that they might believe and have eternal life. 1 John was written to those who do believe so that they might know they have eternal life. In other words, a believer can know they have eternal life. Yeah. A true believer can know that he knows that he knows he has eternal life. And this will fit perfectly with our next point in just a minute. But this fits with our point right now. Faithfully trusting and following the shepherd is evidence the sheep are owned by the shepherd. Well, what are the evidences in the book of 1 John that you're a believer? One of them is that your life is marked more by obedience than disobedience. Your life is marked more by obedience than disobedience. And we see all kinds of hallmarks, about 10 of them, in the book of 1 John of what is a follower of Christ. Your life is marked more by obedience than disobedience. I'm not talking about sinless perfection. Remember, we discussed that last week. But that your life is marked more by ongoing faithfulness, sanctification, and obedience. So when we say that point 13 is faithfully trusting and following the shepherd is evidence the sheep are owned by the shepherd, what we're saying is you can look at the hallmarks of someone's life and say, do they know the shepherd? Do they know Christ? Well, 1 John says if you know Christ, Messiah, that you will follow him, you obey him, you'll be living a life more of obedience than disobedience, that you're longing for the return of the Lord, that you love to hear the word of God taught, be with other believers. 1 John says, if you're really a believer, you long for the return of the Lord. You're not saying, oh, I hope the Lord doesn't return until I get that retirement home built or I get that fishing boat. No, you long for the return of the Lord. It says that you will reject false teaching. You reject false teaching. You don't follow false teaching and false teachers. You reject them. These are just a few of the signs of a true believer according to the book of 1 John. And so this is exactly what's going on in the Gospel of John. Jesus is saying in the Gospel of John, in John chapter 10, verse 26 to 27, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I have said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So again, it fits the same thing with we would say with someone that was running a herd or overseeing a herd. Their sheep are going to follow them and only the shepherd. That's how they know it's their sheep. The sheep follow them because the sheep won't follow someone else's voice because it's not of him. And that's what Jesus said in John 10, 26 to 27 to the false teachers of his day. Remember the context of John 10? He's just healed a blind man. In John 9, the religious leaders of the day, the Pharisees, are upset that he's healing on the Sabbath, but they're also upset he's claiming to be Messiah. And he tells them flat out in John 10, 26 to 27, but you do not believe, you don't believe I'm Messiah because you are not my sheep. In other words, if you were my sheep, you'd believe I was Messiah. And I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Point 14.